Today is the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. And these are the announcements. There will not be blessings of articles after Mass today. There will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. Tomorrow, Monday, is the cleaning of the chapel after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. Parents, please keep your children away from the work site northwest of the chapel, right out here. There are some big feasts this week, which we will simply mention to you. Tomorrow is the 16th Feast of Saint Joachim, Father of our Blessed Mother. Tuesday is the Feast of St. Hyacinth. Wednesday, Feast of St. Agapetus, commemoration. Thursday, Feast of St. John Eudes, one of the first big promoters of the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Friday is the Feast of St. Bernard. We have his statue in our shrine. On the feast, on Saturday, the 21st, is the feast of St. Jane Frances de Chantal. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the book of Judith. The Lord has blessed thee by his power, because by thee he has brought our enemies to naught. Blessed art thou, O daughter, by the Lord the Most High God, above all women upon the earth. Blessed be the Lord who made heaven and earth, who has directed thee to the cutting off the head of the prince of our enemies. Because he has so magnified thy name this day, that thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men, who shall be mindful of the power of the Lord forever. For that thou hast not spared thy life, by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but has prevented our ruin in the presence of our God. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem. Thou art the joy of Israel. Thou art the honor of our people. Before you stand, we just have a question for you, and that is that is this, all of this praise, simply in honor of Judith? Thy praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men forever. Clearly, we say this because of our brethren who are not Catholic. Is it just Judith that our Lord is talking about? Our praise shall not depart out of the mouth of men. And yet they detest our mother. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 1, verses 41 to 50. At that time, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And how have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, the moment that the sound of thy greeting came to my ears, The babe in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who has believed, because the things promised her by the Lord shall be accomplished. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. First of all, we read to you, because it's so beautiful and enjoyable to hear it and to read it. This apostolic constitution of Pope Pius XII in 1950 on the Feast of All Saints, November 1st. It's called Munificentissimus Deus, the Most Bountiful God. And this is the very end of it. For which reason, after he declares why he is doing this, for which reason, after we have poured forth prayers of supplication again and again to God and have invoked the light of the Spirit of Truth for the glory of Almighty God, who has lavished his special affection upon the Virgin Mary, for the honor of her Son, the immortal King of the ages, and the victor over sin and death, for the increase of the glory of that same august mother, and for the joy and exaltation of the entire church, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and by our own authority, we pronounce, declare, and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. Hence, if anyone, which God forbid, should dare willfully to deny or to call into doubt that which we have defined, let him know that he has fallen away completely from the divine and Catholic faith. In order that this, our definition of the bodily assumption of the Virgin Mary into heaven, may be brought to the attention of the universal Church, we desire that this, our apostolic letter, should stand for perpetual remembrance, commanding that written copies of it, or even printed copies, signed by the hand of any public notary and bearing the seal of a person constituted in ecclesiastical dignity, should be accorded by all men the same reception they would give to this present letter, were it tendered or shown. It is forbidden to any man to change this, our declaration, pronouncement, and definition, or by rash attempt to oppose and counter it. If any man should presume to make such an attempt, let him know that he will incur the wrath of Almighty God and of the blessed apostles Peter and Paul. given at Rome, at St. Peter's, in the year of the Great Jubilee, 1950, on the first day of the month of November, on the Feast of All Saints, in the 12th year of our pontificate. So here we are again, celebrating what is called a foolish feast by we know who, a foolish belief, just foolishness. The saints tell us that the greatest effect, that's what they say, the greatest effect of the redemption is the co-redemption. That's what they tell us. Now, Pope Pius XII did not have a particularly glorious reign in terms of what he accomplished. We won't speak about all of that. But he did perform a couple of acts, like this one, for instance, which we hope will have saved him. Because we imagine that he had the same idea in his mind when the inspiration came to him to make this infallible declaration after almost 2,000 years. How long overdue was this? He explains, even though we could not read it to you, he explains why he is doing this and his grounds. So he gives us abundant scripture quotations, at least some of them. There are many others, to support the doctrine that has always been believed that our Blessed Mother is in heaven, body and soul. And he gives abundant quotations from the saints and sacred tradition and theological reasoning. Abundant support. Nevertheless, the modernists call this into question completely from day one. They say this doctrine, this declaration of this dogma by the Pope was completely fabricated because the early fathers and doctors of the church did not speak of it specifically. And so they say this was all fabricated. And they are correct in saying that many of the early doctors and fathers of the church did not pronounce upon this. But it has always been believed. So we want to address this because this is what they say. This is what, because now the modernists rule. So this is what people are hearing, that this is not to be believed by Catholics, by this is being preached from the pulpits. And so we want to tell you something else, in addition, because this is something new. In recent times, research has been done, especially by this researcher, Frank Cardi, who wrote an article about this. And it especially refers to a document that was written during the lifetime of the apostles. That's when this document was written. And it was called the Dormition, or the Sleeping, the Sleep of Mary. It is like a play. It's like scene one and scene two. And it tells us, this document is very well known, by the way. We have 67 different copies of it in umpteen languages from the early church. But because there was something in the document that was called into question, it was not promoted by the church. Partially because at that time, the tomb where our Blessed Mother had been buried was in control of heretics. And so the church did not promote this. But nevertheless, his feast day was always celebrated. And so this document, we are not saying this is sacred scripture or infallible. I did not read the entire document. But it is a beautiful narration, possibly true, about what happened to our Blessed Mother at the time of her death. And it says that our Lord came to her, and it tells what he said to her, and then after he tells her to prepare for her death. And then after her death, it explains that he instructed the apostles, who were miraculously brought for her death, or at least for her burial. And our Lord gave them instructions what to do, to carry her body down to the Valley of Josaphat. And that's where this church was built over her tomb, the place where she was buried. This, of course, church was built after the church had been freed in the 4th century. And it tells what to do. Our Lord told the apostles what to do in this document. And now, because of a flood in that area, the tomb that she was supposedly buried in was cleaned, was opened up. And they discovered that the tomb that our Blessed Mother was put into, her body was put into, was exactly as the story described it in detail. In the tombs at that time, and this was, of course, just as described, a brand new tomb, just like our Lord's was new, so was this one. Never used for anything else. There's just one problem with it. There was no place for our Blessed Mother to be put. Because in a tomb at that time, there was always a cavity for the body to be placed permanently. And the only thing that was in her tomb was a shelf, just like a stool for her body to be placed on, showing that they knew it was temporary. There was no place for her to be permanently placed. So we want to give you one of the quotes that our Blessed Mother told the people before she died. She said, during these 3 days, whatever the 3 days were, maybe between the time of her death and her assumption, she said, during these 3 days, keep your lamps always lit. What does that remind you of? During the 3 days, keep your lamps always lit. So this we have now as quasi-proof of the death and burial of our Blessed Mother. We know, of course, that she only died because, or let us say she died primarily, not because of any sin, but in just purely an imitation of her divine Son. Because you know that we would have been given this gift as Adam and Eve were, of no death. But nevertheless, she followed the example of her Son, and we say that she truly just fell asleep. No pain. And so we have one other thing from this account of our Blessed Mother, in addition to showing that this was believed at the time of the apostles. So this was simply oral tradition written down. But it also states that there was a liturgy. They kept the feast. I may not have mentioned the day, although the earliest documents apart from this all tell us that this is the day. And we know from the 5th century, when which it was celebrated everywhere with great solemnity, just the same as Christmas, Easter, Pentecost. There were 4 feasts at that time kept with the same solemnity. This one and those 3 big ones. This one was equal. As a matter of fact, Christians would fast for 2 weeks before this feast. And during, in preparation for the feast, they would all be up all night long. Procession. They would process from the church, this is in Rome, Church of Our Savior. And they would carry the picture of Our Savior, a painting. To St. Mary Major. All night long they would pray in preparation for the Mass. So this is a great day in history. The reason, of course, is because not only is she our mother, but she is in heaven, body and soul. And she, her glory is, we say, quasi-infinite. In other words, there is no way of measuring her glory. She is like God. They say that God, it is impossible for God to create another God. But he has done as close as possible to that act, that possibility of creating another God. He has done as close as possible because her glory is like God's, since she is his mother. We even say that she has the glory of her Son, since they share in everything. So we have the feast today, not only to honor our Blessed Mother, of course, but to thank God. for everything that he has given us, especially for giving us our Blessed Mother and for taking her to heaven. And we don't pretend to quote our Father Superior, but he said something many years ago that we have to say again in some fashion, not so eloquently as he did, but he said that we know our Blessed Mother is in heaven because when our Lord and Savior was on the cross, he said to us, to you and me, through St. John, "Behold your mother." So we know she is our mother. And he said, how could our mother not have her heart? How could she be our mother without a heart? What kind of a mother would that be? She is our model in every way that we can think of. She is our perfect image of imitation. We want to be like her in every possible way. She is our director, our guide, our love, our beauty, everything that is perfect belongs to her. And so we go to her constantly, do we not? There are many well-known events in the life of our Blessed Mother that stand out. If we think of her life, they stand out, maybe for each one of us, something different that we like to remember about her. But one of our favorite times is the time after the Ascension, when she saw our Blessed Lord go into heaven. And then for many years, we don't know for certain how many years, but it was a long time, she remained here on earth. We like to remember this time. And the reason is that it shows not only her obedience, how perfectly obedient she was to remain on earth when her son was in heaven. How humble to continue to live her life after she had redeemed the world along with her son. But we like to think of how busy she was. She is, in many ways, the one who established the Catholic Church. Imagine how much in disarray the Church was after the Ascension of our Lord and Savior. And they were hunted, being hunted down, the Christians, and put to death. The apostles were being put to death. Our leaders, our bishops, our pope, tortured. Many Christians being tortured and put to death. But what kept the Church completely in line? Our Blessed Mother. We like to think of all of the Christians at that time, what access they had to their mother. Did she ever get any sleep? How often would they go to her, including the apostles, for everything? She never turned anyone away. What wisdom! Solomon was nothing compared to our Blessed Mother. What love she showed all of us in these people. How much she prayed for us. This is also a reminder, brethren, that this is where we belong, with our Mother in heaven. Pius XII helped to compose this Mass, to compose the prayers. And notice that it tells us as we pray that we are keeping our thoughts in heaven with our Mother. Because this is why she is there, for us to go to her, to pray to her, and to keep our eye on her. How safe we will be if we do this. Our mind always up there. It's our promise that this is what is in store for us. We always, when we are teaching faith to prospective converts, to someone who's studying faith, we always like to tell them about the fact, because so many people, so-called Christians, like to put our Blessed Mother down, as do the modernists. But we always like to remind our prospective converts that we have every right and obligation to go to her for everything. Everything. Because are we not to imitate the Son of God? Is he not our model of imitation? And what did he do when he was a boy? Did he not go to his mother? Especially, of course, in the womb, he depended utterly upon her. And then, after he was born, she was his world. Can we not imitate the Son of God? Go to her for all of our needs, to ask her for everything, just as our Lord and Savior did. Remember that she has more power because she is called by the saints Almighty. That's what she's called. Almighty, because she has the power of God. Anything she desires. And they say that she has the power and the courage more than all men and angels put together. That's her courage. So do not hesitate to go to her for all things, including miracles. The miracles she performs are unending. We could tell you about her miracles for the rest of the day, but we thought you might like to hear at least one. We just spoke to you recently about St. Dominic. So now we tell you about one of her miracles. When St. Dominic was preaching at Carcassonne in France, an Albigensian heretic who was possessed by demons was brought to him because he had publicly spoken against the devotion of the Most Holy Rosary. Saint then ordered the demons, in the name of God, to to declare whether those things which he had said concerning the Most Holy Rosary were true. And howling with rage, he said, "Hear, O Christians," this is the demons, "all that this our enemy, St. Dominic, has said of Mary and of the Most Holy Rosary is entirely true." They added, moreover, that they had no power against the servants of Mary, and that many who at death invoked Mary were saved contrary to their deserts. Many times they had not invoked her except at their death, and they were saved. And finally, they said, "We are constrained to declare that no one is lost who perseveres in devotion to Mary and in the devotion of the Most Holy Rosary, for Mary obtains for sinners a true repentance before death." Saint Dominic made the people immediately repeat the rosary, and at every Hail Mary, many devils went out from that wretched man in the shape of burning coals, so that when the rosary was finished, he was entirely freed from them, and many heretics became converted. And that tells you how real it was, because these people were very adamant in their heresy, and they were not easily converted. And so we remind you, brethren, of what these demons said. Nobody is lost who has devotion to our Blessed Mother. And especially on this day, you might ask her for a special favor in honor of her Assumption, which has been celebrated from day one. May God bless you.